never, you know, come to me.
Just to summarize it again, we're going to continue on Pesachim Zayin, and Al Zayin and Beis. So the question is when you say Bir Chametz, the bracha on searching out for your chametz, you say Bir Chametz. You say Al Bir, on Bir, or Livayer, to search, to destroy. Okay, on the institution of destroying chametz or to destroy. So the Gemara says is that the question is because since you're saying the bracha before you do the mitzvah, so you want to have a language which implies the future. The bracha, the action of the mitzvah is yet to come. So you want to have a language which implies the future. So livayer, that you commanded us to search out chametz or to destroy chametz, that's good. That's to do it in the future. So it's fine. Good. It's good. But if you say al, the other positions, the one of the papa. The Papi says that's no good, because Al implies on the viewer that I have done already, too late, right? If it's not true, I didn't already do it. I'm yet to do it, so you can't say Al. Whereas the Papa says, no, that's also fine. Al implies the future also. So he says, funny kind of machlokes about the grammar. So Tosus says, helps out a little bit, because he says, no, everyone agrees that that Al implies the future a little bit. Okay, and therefore, if you can't say Le, you can't say le, then like for instance, if I mila, you can't say le because you personally weren't, because the moel can't say le because he wasn't personally commanded. So therefore, he'll say al. And so you can say al. So al, because al implies the standard, if Poppy holds the standard idea of al implies the past. But it also could imply the future a little bit. And therefore, it's okay if you don't have a choice. Whereas it seems to be, Rav Papa says, no, you can use it anyways. Okay, you can use it anyways. So he said it's at least helpful because now with an argument about the grammar, or you could learn an argument about the grammar, but everyone would agree that in theory the simple implication is the past, but it a little bit implies the future. And therefore, there's room for an argument. Like, is that okay? Is it okay to use something which kind of only a little bit implies it? But again, this whole thing is kind of loose. What does it mean? First of all, what does it mean? It implies it a little bit. Sort of? What's that idea? What does it mean? And then why would you say that it's okay, or why would you say it's not okay? Okay, that's basically what we left with yesterday, right? And I forgot to mention, but the question is also, like, what's the issue here? Like, who cares? What's the point of implying, like, what's the halachic relevance of whether it implies the past, implies the future? Like, what does it do to this whole? Does it make the bracha good? Does it make the bracha not good? Does it, like, I don't know why? Like, what's the halachic role of this implication? It's just a matter of what is semantics. Okay, so is it just a matter of that's one answer? That's one possible answer. It's just a matter of you have to say truth. Okay, and then the argument is about what's
given
truth.
Given that you have to do the bracha before, so then...
Okay, it's true, but I mean, then it's gonna have a hard time getting to machlokas. If you're just saying as you want to be truthful, then how are you going to argue? I mean, is truthful or not truthful,
right?
Then what is it? So, I mean, it would be better if you could show somehow there's a halachic role of the bracha and of the implication of the bracha, which the term demands that it imply one way or another, and therefore, then at least you could open up room for an argument. I mean, I don't know how exactly, but, you know, if you just leave it simply. Certainly false is bad. But just because it's true doesn't mean there's nothing else that's required, you know?
Well, that could be the machlokas, one that holds there is no, whatever this additional mechanism is. I guess as long as it's not false, it's not a problem. I don't know. Something.
Could be something like that. Okay. So it seems to be two fundamental questions to start with. Again, there's a lot of problems here. It's very complicated. You can't, kind of hard to just solve all the problems at one time. You have to kind of focus. So two, I think, basic problems. They're different problems, but you have to take them both up first. Is one of those times asking is, who cares? What's the role of this, of the, you know, of the implication of the bracha? And second of all, as David's mentioning, what does that mean? It implies it a little bit, a lot, sort of, like, just could we clarify what that means? You know, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does the word mean? What kind of thing is that? That the word kind of means both things, it implies one way. Okay, good. So I think that answer David's saying is that that's what he must mean is that there's context. That there's a word, there's a standard meaning of a word, but context could oftentimes imply, a word could have two meanings. It could mean one or it could mean the other, and there's a standard assumption of what the word means, but context could oftentimes indicate that it means the other. Right? And that happens in language. Where's the context here? Exactly. Right. The context here is when you do it. Whereas here, basically, you say, I'll be your chametz. And then you start doing beer. Start doing bedika. Right? I'll be your chametz. In the past, no beer going on here. You were just eating dinner. And you say, I'll be your chametz. And then you start doing it. So, the context is clear. That's what you're talking about. And since the word al lends itself to that meaning, right, it does lend this standard thing. You say al, you say, oh, what just happened? Did anything just happen? But you look around for a second, you realize nothing just happened. You say, oh, it must be he meant al in the future sense. That must be what was going on here. Right? Cause, and look, he's about to do beer. That's what he's doing. This must be beer, what he's doing. Right? So the context is clear. From context in this instance, it's clear. I guess that's why, like, by lulav, see, al, I guess the same can mean both. But le doesn't. Le only means future. So that's why lulav, you can't say le. Because it means future. What future? You know? And you don't say it not future than past, because le doesn't mean past. At least from the Gemara, you know?
Can't you say le?
But al, because it's talking about where you already, it's where you already did it by
right,
lulav.
Right,
so
right,
since
right.
You already did it, le only implies the future. But al implies both. So since al, simple pshat al, you look to the past. But then if it's not nothing there, then you look to see the future. So context will tell you that it's on the future.
Is it that?
Right, we're talking here, we're not talking about like the translation of the word. Because al just means on beer. It doesn't mean anything. And le just means to do beer.
It doesn't
mean
like about. Like it means on.
I understand. But I'm saying neither of these things actually, if you translate it, mean
right.
On the beer that I did. Or on the beer that I'm going to do. Or to do beer in 4 seconds, or to do beyond that. It just means there's a connotation,
mm-hmm.
implications. So what we're talking about here, we're not talking about translation, we're talking about, connotation. You know, connotation especially, you could have things that have connotations opposites, based on context. So al, the simple connotation of God commanded us on this thing is on this thing which already, I guess I'm referencing the thing which already exists, and I'm referencing the thing which already took place, as opposed to, but it could mean on this thing which is coming. But the God commanded me to do this thing implies I have yet to do it. He commanded me to do it, and now I'm going to respond to doing it. You know, something like that. But that's, you have to get into the grammar. But, it sounds plausible. So the question, so that's our premise. I think that's a good way to learn that part. I mean, we haven't yet explained what the sugya or anything, but what is he even talking about that it kind of implies? I think that's what it means, is that there's a meaning in this context. And here from context, that's what it's talking about. So you can infer from context, it's talking about the future. Now the question to be is it good or is that not good? So then I think we have to just get to the issue of who cares about all this stuff? What's the, So Chaim's saying good for starters. One side is Rav Papa. Thank you. Which is that the simple idea is that a bracha has to be related to the mitzvah. It's a birchas ha-mitzvah, right? It's a praise on the mitzvah. So you can't say a bracha and then in an hour do the mitzvah, right? Then there's no relationship to the mitzvah. So there has to be a relationship. It's qualifying the action as an action from Hashem for the purpose of mitzvah, and you're expressing that. You're giving praise on this thing which God gave us. And if it's unrelated to the mitzvah, you might as well say all your brachos now and then just do mitzvahs later. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You have to relate, it has to be related to it. So the relationship is through it being close in time. Right? Close in time. But close in time, also, you have to make a statement that will lends itself to being interpreted as being related to the bracha. So if you say le, so le means it infers the future. So you can't say le after the thing. It's not going to in any way. It won't be related because you're making a statement which is a clear implication of something in the future, and there's nothing in the future. So that's why if the implication is 100% clear, there's only one implication. So then there simply is not going to be any relationship between the bracha and the shavach, and the bracha and the action and the mitzvah. But if you have something which could be interpreted both ways, and there is context, or clearly is context going on here, so it will be related. What's the difference? You say, I'll be your chametz. At first, it is from context, it's clear that that's what's going on. I don't know if it matters like what someone will think. I mean, using someone as like your theoretical way to measure is that the language is related to the bracha. It's not so much because there's actually a guy there, but you have to use an appropriate language, so your speech has to be related to the action. So if you're using a language which lends itself to that, and through the context it's clear, so therefore that should be good. So who cares if it only works, it's only clear through context, or it's even clear, or it's intrinsically clear without context. But what's the difference? Either way it should work.
Why
either way they're related. I'm not saying le definitely works here. But I'm saying if you had a case where you're doing le after the bracha, it wouldn't work because it has to clearly relate. But you have to use a language which, through the context will mean, will clearly relate to the bracha and the action. If you say something which doesn't imply it, if you said, for instance, explicitly, you commanded me on the beer which I just did, and you said that explicitly, let's say, so then obviously then you do beer. So context isn't going to help you there. Context only could work. That's it. Context could only work with a language that lends itself to that meaning. A context can't just make miracles, but a word which has two meanings, even though one is more likely or less likely, context will tell you use the less likely interpretation. You know, but that's but that demands the word lends itself. But that's the saying. All does lend itself. And the question is, what? And Rav Papa is going to argue on that? I mean, that's the question now, right? So that's your argument for Rav Papa, right? Solid argument. What's Rav Papa's problem? So what do we do now? So what's the step now? So this seems like we're stuck. What's Rav Papa saying, right? So what's Rav Papa's argument to say that it has to be clear, right? But this idea is that you just want to create that the bracha has to be going on the mitzvah. So therefore, the bracha has to be related to the mitzvah. So it's not more related. I mean, either the bracha is going on the mitzvah or it's not going on the mitzvah. Like, let's say you say that you make a bracha of shachol, you have to drink the thing related, you know. You can't wait too long. Let's say you can't wait till chedidi. We can't wait 3 seconds, let's say. So is it really good if you do it in like 1/10 of a second? Is that better than 1 second? Or then better than 1 second, better than 2 seconds? Or 2 seconds better than 2.5 seconds? The deal is they're related. A relationship is either related or they're not related. See, it's more related because it's clear. I mean, from context, it's clear. So a good step. I mean, I think this is a good direction. Chaim's throwing out and say a little less than you, but there's like directions. To me, it seems that this is a dead end. This path is dead end. I mean, if you're saying is that it's an idea of that you just have to create a relationship between the two, if the mitzvah has to be related to the bracha, is related to the mitzvah. I mean, you can't be more or less related. Either it's related, it's not related. So, you know, so rather it must be there's a different idea. Papa has a different idea of why it is that there's the bracha is an implied reference to the mitzvah. Must be somehow it like enhances the bracha or something. Somehow it's better. It's a better bracha.
It's not just that
halachically you're doing the mitzvah and now you're making a bracha and they can't just be unrelated. They have to be related. So related is related. Not related is not related. But it must be somehow it's like an enhancement of the bracha itself that they're related. And then you could start arguing. Well, why is it better if it's enhancing the bracha itself? Maybe it's better if it's in the text of the bracha itself, or in something like that. But there must be, I think, you want to search for another idea, a different idea, for what's the benefit, what's the enhancement of having this, you know, the bracha implying, pointing to the mitzvah. You know, as a kiyum in the bracha itself, not just because halachically they have to be related, but somehow it's like an enhancement of the mitzvah. You know, if it's an enhancement, maybe now, or enhancement of the bracha, enhancement of the mitzvah, so, you know. I guess the bracha will be better, because then you're in the category of the bracha. But what's that idea, though? I think you have to get an idea for that, though, you know. There's another halacha which reminds you of. There's a halacha that when you make a bracha, let's say, on a food, so you're supposed to be holding the food in your hand when you make the bracha.
Yeah, that's not for the food.
Right, it's not for the food. That's not for the eating. What's that right. for? Why is that? What's that idea?
You don't have a
hafsek.
Did you say there's a gavra? Okay. Shevach is always about the gavra.
Okay.
So when you do shevach, you're not just enunciating. It's not just a maisa dibor that you're producing,
okay.
But that you're defining yourself as a person who's engaged in praise. So now, since in that case the food, the praise is on the food. So it's appropriate to have it incorporate. You want to incorporate the object, the thing which is prompting the praise
right.
into the praise. So same thing here.
Right.
And if you don't incorporate it fully, so that's a lack in the praise.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe just elaborate. It's that the part of the praise is, it's a better praise. Like, again, if you were praising someone about something in the presence of the thing, like the praise, it's a better praise if it incorporates the object that you're praising it on. So what you're saying is that God made priya, it's just an abstract statement. So that's true, it's an abstract praise. But insofar as if I have a fruit in my hand and I mean it's a good juicy fruit, whatever, and I'm holding it and I'm relating to it, and I
someone gives you a new
it's
watch,
a
and you
praise.
Prompt them to thank them wearing the
you're
watch.
Right.
It's a different
exactly
thing.
Right. I'd say though you're right. I think it's the because praise involves a gavra. It's like the person praise is like the person is involved in recognizing God's greatness for giving you the thing, and a person is moved by the actual object. So even though the praise is formulated in the abstract, because it's a greater praise in the abstract, insofar as the person is experiencing or is related to the the thing in the bracha itself, while he's giving the praise, it's an enhancement of the praise. Okay, so I know it's intrinsically absolutely necessary, but it's an enhancement of the praise if you incorporate into the praise that which is moving the person towards the praise. And if there's a reference, if there's a relationship within the thing, if the text of the bracha itself is referring to the, if what you're saying is referring to the bracha itself, referring to the mitzvah, so it's saying it's not just that, yeah, God's great, he gave us this institution of the Bir Hametz, but he gave us this institution of Bir Hametz, which I'm about to do, and then I do it. So as opposed to if I talk in a loose sense, and you could figure it out, but then the context, then the relationship, then the bracha itself, it doesn't point to the action, to the beer. If you say al, it's true halachically. Well, no, it's in the bracha. There's the gavra of shavah mishabeach. The gavra, the person who's giving praise, isn't through his shavach, unless you should incorporate the thing into the shavach. So if the praise itself points to the actions, then it's a greater praise for the gavra. The person is more. It's a greater praise. The way the praise does it is through incorporating it into the praise. How do you incorporate it into the praise? Is that you use a language which points to. Certain languages point to a direct object. So the language of to, le, to do this is to do what? And then you do it. So the language points to it. As opposed to if you say al, it doesn't point to it. So now it's true, halachically, there's a relationship. Because look, through context, afterwards we'll look it over and whatever, it does create a relationship. But the bracha itself, since it came in the bracha itself, it's an enhancement of the bracha itself, that it incorporates the thing, it should be in the bracha itself that points to the action. So therefore you should have the wording itself of the bracha should happen. But if you're just trying to create a relationship, is that halachically these two things have to be related, otherwise it's not a bracha mitzvah, so then I don't care, it could be related from context, from the bracha itself, who really cares? It could be from the way the person is doing everything. So it could be as for Papa's argument. Papa's holding that there's another kiyum. The idea of making a relationship between the bracha and the action is not just an idea because the mitzvah has to be a bracha mitzvah.
He has that idea also,
but he says there's a different dimension to it. There's another dimension, which is that it's enhancement of the shavach. It's enhancement of the shavach if the shavach points to the bracha, points to the action. So it points to it, then it should have it in the text itself, it should point to it. Context won't do that because this is a kiyum in the bracha. It has to be in the bracha itself that points to it because it's a kiyum in the bracha. So if it's just an idea halachically, it has to be related, it could be whatever. But if it's a kiyum in the bracha, it should be the bracha itself points to it. So the bracha itself is the words of the bracha. The bracha, that's right. The context isn't the bracha is the bracha. So you want the words of the bracha to point to the action, and that's a greater shavach. So therefore, Rav Papi is saying this is that because that there's another idea here. Now, look, if you can't do it, so you can't do it, right? If you can't do it because it's, let's say, Moel, Moel's doing it. He can't say Le because Le implies that he himself was commanded, which is not true. So therefore, he's going to have to say Al, and he's not going to have that kiyum. He's not going to have that kiyum. Okay, but it's if it's possible, and I think that means you're not allowed to. Then in Shavach, you can't choose a lesser Shavach. That's what it means. How are you allowed to? That's the principle in Shavach, is that if you used to go to a king and you say, you're pretty good, that's not praise, right? I mean, you're a pretty strong guy, you're pretty powerful. That's not good, because why pretty? Pretty, like, holding back in praise, you're not allowed to do that. That diminishes the praise. It's not even praise. So if you have the ability to give the praise in the highest form, to say le, which will clear in the text itself, it actually refers to the bracha, to the action, and we'll have this enhancement, then you have no right to use the lesser one. But if you don't have a choice, then fine, then it's still praise.
So what is Rav Papa?
That's the question. So now the question, so what does Rav Papa hold? I mean, I'll take a question if you have a question on this, but the question, what does Rav Papa hold? Does he just not hold of this kiyum? See, at first that's what I was thinking of it. He doesn't hold of this kiyum. But
right.
It would be better if you could show that he does hold of it, but he holds that it works anyways, somehow. Context works or something, you know, I mean, that would be better. I mean, and he could just say, look, is there this idea?
Right.
Papa doesn't buy it. But I mean, you see, Papa holds the bracha, holds the thing in his hand.
It would
be narrower, right. It would be narrower if you could explain the machlokas that everyone agrees with the scheme, and somehow that's a question within the scheme, if you could do it, you know. Chaim's asking, so why not make him very specific? Say that you commanded us to take this very lulav, or that you commanded that you created apples. You created Granny Smith apples, whatever. Right? Being very, very specific. So I think that there's like a tension, because on the one hand, it's a greater praise if you talk about, if you enlarge that which you're giving praise about, saying God created fruit trees, okay, fruits of the tree, you know, that's a wide and encompassing thing. So it casts a greater idea of God in your mind, is that he created all fruit trees, you know. You say God created Granny Smith apples, okay, pretty good, but, you know, say a larger category, it's a greater, you know, there's a greater praise, but if you pull it away from, so explicitly you want to give the greatest shavach, but still, what makes the person think about that is the particular thing which he's experiencing. You know what I mean? So it's like the Gavra Meshabeach, it's like the best formula is to have the explicit thing, he's talking about a large category, but you involve in it the particular thing which moved him towards recognizing that larger category.
So in terms of the larger category, Al and Le, are both talking about the same larger category?
No, Al and Le, yeah. The Al and Le does, yeah. In terms of the praise itself, you're just saying on the institution of Matthias Lulav, or to take the Lulav, it's the same thing. But the question of the Al and Le is about the reference to the particular. That's a different facet of the brachas. It's a greater Gavon Shabbat if you... The front of the Shevach itself is greater. You give the greatest Shevach is the universal Shevach. But the Gavra Meshevach, the person's involvement is greater if you point in the bracha to the mitzvah. So, you know, he's moved. The text of the bracha points to that which brings him towards this recognition. So that's the question, is you want to use a language which points to it in the bracha itself. So maybe another problem. So that's what we have to do. For tomorrow it would be better. Could we make this better? We make it better than just saying, as Rav Papi holds by this and Rav Papa doesn't. And you could say that. I don't think it's crazy. But, it's somehow a little bit bothersome. You know, I mean, it would be better if you could somehow narrow it. Say they both hold of it. The question is, does this kiyum work through context or not? See, at least here you could, within the idea of a relationship, there's no room for, you know, either it works or doesn't. But this is a Shevach, you could see having a question. You think about it. But the next thing I want to take up is the Ron. As the Ron talks about, because the Gemara paskins, the Gemara concludes that you should say Al. So the question is, why should you conclude? You say Al. Why is Al any better than Le? Right? Because it didn't matter. I just say the question was, does Al work? But Le certainly works. So why is it that the Gemara says Ilchas Al? So Rashi just says it doesn't really mean that. It means even Al or whatever. They both work. But the Ron brings down the Ravid, who says no. It's better. Okay? It's better to say. He says, I'm just going to quote you a little bit. It's, if you want to look at it, it's in Gimel and Beis in the Ron. It's a second and a wide line. He says, really, if you say Levah, you don't go back. If you say Le, it's noticeable from the Bracha that you're not a Talmud Chacham. Okay? You're not a scholar. Okay? Because it's in general, and it's a Gemara. He's quoting Gemara in Brachas, in Ketzim Bracham, Lamachas. He says, by whether you should say Hamotzi Lacham in Aretz or Bimotzi Lacham in Aretz. So everyone agrees that, is it motzi or hamotzi? Yeah, motzi or hamotzi. Everyone agrees motzi is good. The question is, does hamotzi work? So it turns out they say that if you say hamotzi, it's better because it shows, everyone agrees motzi works. So if you say hamotzi, it shows that you know what you're doing. Okay, and that's the good. He says people will say you're an Adam Gadol because they told us. They say,
demonstrating you know all works is
demonstrating better. That you know. The Gemara there says is that you show. Show people, or you show that this is a proper way to do it. So that's a general. It's a good idea. It seems to be. It's a mitzvah. It's an enhancement to the kiyum in brachos to manifest that you know what you're doing, or something like that. Like to show that all works. So you really it does work. But if you say you're showing that all works. Everyone knows all works. That's great. So the question is, what kind of thing is that? I mean, sounds like a funny idea. Right.
It seems foreign to the issue.
Yeah, it seems foreign, but I don't mind that it's foreign. It could be foreign, because you have to pass against and you're doing work, so therefore it's foreign.
Why should you incorporate that into what you do? Like,
well, you're right. Oh, that's what you mean. Yeah, no, who cares? I mean, what is this, like a show-off game? Like, we're showing off I know what I'm doing? Or what kind of, you know, you see him. There's a story there. They brought a guy, someone said, this guy is a great guy. You should know, you know, Matt brought him to his rabbi. Yeah, this guy is the real Talmud Chacham. And they introduced him, and he said, Motzi Lachem Aretz. He said, this guy's not a great guy. He should have said Hamotzi. If he would have said Motzi to Hamotzi, then I can understand. He's showing that Hamotzi works, and you can learn that the Pasuk, Hamotzi l'chamayim, is means this, it's whatever. And then he's a Talmud Chacham, but this is an Adam Gadol. He said, why did he say Motzi? You know? So my answer, no, he was trying to, he wasn't sure which way to go, so he was trying to get out of the suffix. So he was, you know, he really held that maybe Hamotzi didn't work, so whatever. But I'm saying, what kind of idea is this? I mean, what kind of halacha? Is it better bracha? I mean, is it better nitzil luluv if I shake my luluv in a way that makes it clear that I'm a talmud chacham? What kind of thing? It's not a halacha thing. You show people that you're a talmud chacham, or you show that you know what you're doing, you know, does it work or it doesn't work? Who really cares? Right? I mean, that's the problem. I mean, in theory, you could argue it's even better to just play it safe, do a language which everyone agrees with, you know. So that's another thing we'll do. Okay, and then from there we have to go into. Then we'll get into the Ran. The Ran basically says he says, why is this question only by Biyar? Shouldn't this, if this whole machlokas, future or past, shouldn't this be a universal question by every single bracha in the world? We say a lot of times. Shouldn't there just be one rule? So there got to be like some sort of system going on here. So that's what the Ran says there must be. So then he starts coming up with these rules. So that's where we're at. But I think for tomorrow let's try to tighten up this machlokas, and let's try to. Maybe take up this thing. You can look at that Gemara there and some brachas. He quotes it. The Ran quotes it. This thing of, you know, so you want to show that you're not brachas.